I have the great honor of participating in a very special retreat at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church. 9 years ago, I participated in my own way. I hosted a sleepover for my daughter and a friend. A neighbor came to me and said, "There's this women's retreat at that church we've started attending, and I think I'd like to go." So I said, "Okay, well, I'll keep the girls, and you go ahead and do that." I saw the flyer, and I thought, "Oh, who has the time and the money for that kind of thing?" And off she went, and I kept the girls, and brought the girls back to her house in the morning, ready for them to continue on their weekend long of play. I said, "So how was it?" And she said, "Oh, gosh, it was awful." You know, she went on about women gathering in soft, touchy-feely sharing circles and singing campfire songs and, you know, connecting to the earth. And she was like, no, I really could not handle it. And I said, that kind of sounds like fun. So the next year, I was in the social hall, and someone approached me and said, "You know, you really should consider this dream quest we do." And I thought, "Oh, yeah, that's that touchy-feely thing. Yeah, okay, I think I'll do that." And so it was the neighbor's turn to host a sleepover. And so I came, and I didn't experience the touchy-feely circles, and we didn't sing campfire songs. What I witnessed was this most amazing woman, and she opened up the vortex to another world. Those campfire songs, they weren't songs. They were sacred chants and hymns that opened our hearts and our minds so we could walk into the world she was about to open. Some years, it was more subtle than others. All of a sudden, you were just there. Other years, I swear, I saw her just open. And we were just transported in a place where we were all just a little bit softer. Our hearts and minds were open. And with this softness and openness, feelings can be hard or joyful. And when they're hard, it's painful. But all the other women, if one woman was experiencing extreme pain, the beauty you would witness of the other women gathering around and supporting and holding that woman in her sacred space was one of the most powerful things you could witness. And when they were joyful, you would see women spin and celebrate together, exploring the possibilities of their spiritual journey. All things are possible during this dream quest because the women are truly holding sacred space for one another. Earlier, I tried to describe that opening that Judith conjures that allows us to enter into this other realm. But it isn't only Judith that opens this vortex. It's the beautiful circle of women who gather and weave for many months to transform this beautiful church into a space that allows these women to create this sacred space. These women facilitate practices that help us go deeper into our quest. They make sure we have everything we need, from Dove chocolate to Mod Podge. I can't share more that happens, because it truly is sacred. But I can tell you how it ends. This beautiful woman brings us together again around the labyrinth and leads us in a very powerful sharing that affirms all that we have gathered and all that we are. She closes the circle. We put our shoes on and walk out the door. That's when I begin to wonder, did she close that vortex? Thank you for letting me share.
The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, the one who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention and how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Callie, for that lovely reflection. That was brought tears to my eyes. So these June quests that have been going on here for 11 years have been, each have a theme. And for the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I've come and shared with the whole congregation the theme that we use. And this year's theme is Dreaming One's Soul's Purpose. So I'm going to give you a bit of a reflection on this and also ask us all to participate a little bit in coming into our own understanding of what the world means. So dreaming one's soul's purpose is a lifelong endeavor. It's a worthy enterprise and a necessary component of one's spiritual life. Unlike the promptings of the ego, where we listen, when we listen to our soul's call, we find ourselves in another state of awareness that often brings deep meaning to our lives. I don't believe a purpose needs to be grand or spiritual. It just has to have the quality of authenticity and staying power to guide us through life. I wrote this little chant incorporating the last line of the poem Patty just read. We'll sing it in a little while, but I'll just say it right now. What moves you to take flight, to become the holy fool? What will you do with your one wild and precious life? I believe there's something about taking flight when we find your soul's purpose, and there is excitement, sometimes trepidation. There's also the necessity to become the holy fool, by which I mean being willing to risk, to change, to transform, to let go of caring about the opinion of those without eyes to see or ears to hear what you're seeing and hearing. As I prepared this quest, both here and in San Francisco, I thought a lot about the times when I have heard a call to my soul's purpose and how different that call is from plans and expectations, or even the next logical right step. Over the years, I've come to respect the gravity of a call, even if it is difficult to actualize or doesn't quite make sense to me or others, especially others in my life. I know that I have had to adopt the fool archetype or try something I hadn't tried before, or trust that I would find my wings when my feet left the cliff. Anybody ever experienced that? Usually they show up. strangely enough. Ah, I know that when I paid attention, reorganize the specifics of my life, and heeded the call, a kind of synchronicity happens. As Goethe said, at the moment of commitment, the entire universe conspires to assist you. The moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. So how do we listen? How do we fine-tune? How do we keep in step with the flow of our soul's purpose? I propose the usual spiritual hygiene. Meditate, pray, share with trusted others, and most importantly, listen. That's really the quality that is most important, to not be thinking you know where it's all going, to be receptive, to be in touch with the inner parts of ourselves so that we can, in fact, hear when something comes to us. I've been very fortunate in my life to know what my general purpose is. I would say it's in service, healing, inspiring, teaching. I remember after reading 36 Children in the 60s, I knew that part of my life's path was to be a teacher. And for the first part of my career, I taught children with special needs. It was totally a calling, because that certainly was a very difficult piece of my life. And the labyrinth has been another calling in my life. It entered my life in the mid-90s with my friend Lauren Archers, who has really popularized the labyrinth in this epoch of our history. And that calling took me to Chartres Cathedral in France, a little southwest of Paris. Beautiful, beautiful place. I hope many of you have seen that in your life, or at least seen the pictures of the windows and the statuary. And on one faded labyrinth walk there, I got to the center, closed my eyes, and I saw a magnificent rose just about to bloom. And I took that, the meaning I made of that vision was to undertake the work that I've done bringing workshops on the sacred feminine to women now all over the world. And I also took it as an invitation to explore Mary. Chartres Cathedral is one of Mary's homes dedicated to her in the 12th century. And that's taken me to Lourdes, Fatima, Walsingham, and to the Virgin of Guadalupe. And this year I'm going to visit Medjugorje. These are all places where there's been an apparition of Mary. And this has been a very important stream in my life and sustains me. To hear this particular call, the one at Chartres, I mean, it was helpful to be a pilgrim in a sacred site. That put me in a place of expecting the unusual and miraculous. It helped to suspend the usual and to become the holy fool. It helped to not know. Listening is all in the intention, a cultivation of a certain kind of consciousness, and then leaving it up to life. So I'd just like to invite you now to take a moment to remember what each of you understands, what each of us understands as our soul's purpose. You might have been thinking about this yesterday, or maybe it's not been on your mind for a long time. But we're going to use the chant I spoke to you about, which may be up there sometime soon. and then we'll take a few moments in silence just to tune into what this might be for you at this moment. And this moment is all we've got, right, on this beautiful, sunny, crystal clear morning. And maybe there's something that's going to come right now that hasn't come before. So let's leave that up to life, too. And I'd like to show you this chant just very briefly, and then we'll sing it together three times. It gets in your ear, by the way. You may hear it later on today. It goes, what moves you to take flight? To become the holy fool, what will you do with your one wild and precious life? Would you join me? What moves you to take flight? To become the holy fool, what will you do with your one wild and precious life? What moves you to what might you do with your one wild and precious life? We'll bring us back in a moment. So without thinking too much, I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and simply say one word about your soul's purpose, and then listen to your partner and listen to the one word they have to say to you. That conversation and talk about this. This is a tender thing for all of us and so very precious. And I would encourage you to have that conversation with either whom you just spoke to or someone else later on today. So, I'm hopefully that everybody thought of something that sounded like you did. And I'd just like you to think for a moment, too, about where do you stand with this calling? Is it complete? Is it faded? Does it still motivate you and organize your life? Do you value it or compare it to someone who has a very famous and fancy calling? Nobody's ever done that, right? Okay, and have you done the hard work it asks you to do? Because usually each soul calling comes with its work. It can be real good work, though. And have you been open to being surprised to see where something takes you and then where the next turn in the road is? So I want to close this reflection with a song I think I must have written 20 years ago, which luckily showed back up for this Dream Quest, and I'm just going to recite the words of it. And I added a new verse this year because it's this year. You'll notice that at the end. And it goes like this. Listen to the call from the top of the mountain. Listen to the call from the silver wings on high. Listen to the call from the depths of the cathedral. Listen to the call and fly. And we're all called together. We're all called to love when we listen in the stillness of our heart. Listen to the call in the words of your teachers. Listen to the call in the forest lullaby. Listen to the call in your tears of joy and sorrow. Listen to the call and fly. We're all called together. We're all called to love when we listen in the stillness of our hearts. And also, listen to the call as you rage at the headlines. Listen to the call when despair calls your name. Listen to the call every moment, every hour. Listen to the call and fly.
When Judith shared with the Dream Quest Planning Circle last year that the theme of this year's quest would be dreaming our soul's purpose, I remember that there was a collective in-breath by the group. And it almost seemed a sense of panic. Wow, we said, that's a really scary theme. It seems so big, so all-encompassing, and honestly, a little overwhelming. And at the same time, so very, very important. Dreaming our soul's purpose. Dreaming your soul's purpose. What will you do with your one wild and precious life? This is no small dream, exploration, or question. The soul can be one of those elusive things that is hard to define. So before I go on, let's unpack a little bit of what I mean when I speak of the soul. I'm very moved by the description that Parker Palmer, the admired Quaker educator and activist, offers. In his book, A Hidden Wholeness, he describes the soul as that life-giving core of the human self,
with its hunger for truth and justice, love and forgiveness. I add to this understanding the idea of our soul being that divine spark inside each one of us. The part of us that makes us uniquely us, like our holy fingerprint. And I love Palmer's language of the soul hungering for truth, justice, love, and forgiveness. Yes, our soul, the essence of our being, our life-giving core does hunger for truth and for justice and for love and for forgiveness. Our soul hungers for living a life that matters. Probably every one of us can remember a time of being asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" This may, in fact, be a question that you are still struggling to answer even as a grown-up. This question doesn't have quite the same weight to it as, "So, what's your soul purpose?" But I think it's another way of asking, who do you want to be in relationship with the world? Who do you want to be in relationship with the world? As a young person, I remember being asked what I wanted to be when I grew up. And fortunately for me, this question felt okay because from a young age I knew one of the best gifts my parents ever gave me, besides the gift of life itself, was the gift of being raised as a Unitarian Universalist. I grew up in a wonderfully loving UU church in Lubbock, Texas, from pre-K through senior high school. They were not a large congregation, but they were committed to being a nurturing, multi-generational faith community of UUs. As individuals and as a congregation, they had, of course, their strengths and their weaknesses, but they were a solid church. They taught me in their religious education program and by their individual and collective actions to live my UU values every day. I thrived throughout my childhood and teens with their love, nurturance, support, and care. By age 12, I knew I had a call to serve our faith. At that young age, I felt a call to UU ministry, a call that has remained with me all of my days. Church life and serving our faith was, and still is, central to my being. The congregation of my childhood loved me into my young adulthood. I moved away to pursue college in other parts of Texas, and also had an internship in the youth office at the Unitarian Universalist Association in Boston. It was one of the best years of my life. And as a young adult, I found myself in Charlottesville and have been serving you as your professional religious educator since 1992. Thank you. As I said, church life and serving our faith was, and still is, central to my being. Some of you know that I consider myself an evangelical UU. Amen. And I say this because I really do believe in the life-saving message of our faith, that we have a faith that can help heal our broken world. Our UU faith can help each one of us cultivate our souls as they hunger for truth, for justice, for love, and forgiveness, so that we are inspired and supported to do the work of truth, justice, love, and forgiveness in our own lives and in the wider world. I understand my call to be about working in creative and collaborative partnership with God, Spirit, Goddess, something that is actually beyond my naming or even my understanding. But to work with Spirit to help nurture and sustain and grow all of our souls. My call is about helping us work together and with the Holy to create a faith home that nourishes and sustains us while calling us all forth to do the work of ending injustice, fighting oppression, and working together with our neighbors and community partners to build the world we dream of. My call is to help raise generations of Unitarian Universalists who feel loved, supported, empowered, and emboldened by their faith tradition, and who live their UU values out loud and every day. I am both humbled and honored that the Board of Trustees will bring to a congregational meeting on March 29th the question of whether or not to ordain me as your Minister of Faith Development. So this morning I have shared with you what I understand to be part of my soul's purpose, to serve our faith, to answer Spirit's call to ministry. This sense of call and soul purpose is deeply meaningful to me. And I know beyond a doubt that my soul's purpose, in fact, the purpose of all of our souls, is to love and be loved for our authentic selves. There is no greater soul purpose than this. But exploring this is for another sermon another day. So in this moment, and in every moment, may we each know that we are held in a larger love as we continue to uncover and embrace our soul's purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Let us reflect in silence.